right away. Now here is what you say, so sing it while you may. Here's a silly jingle, you can sing it night or noon. Here's the words, that's all you need, 'cause I just sang the tune. Oh, I don't want her, you can have her, she's too fat for me. She's too fat for me. She's too fat for me. I don't want her, you can have her, she's too fat for me. She's too fat, she's too fat, she's too fat for me. I get dizzy, I get numb when I'm dancing with my jum jum jumbo. I don't want her, you can have her, she's too fat for me. She's too fat for me. She's too fat for me. I don't want her, you can have her, she's too fat for me. She's too fat, she's too fat, she's too fat for me. No, 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 no.
Can she dance a quadrille?
No, 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 no.
Does she fit in your coop?
By herself, she's a group.
Could she possibly sit upon your knee?
No, no, no.
We don't want her, you can have her. She's too fat for me.
She's too fat for me.
But she's just right for me.
We don't want her, you can have her. She's too fat for me.
Yeah, she's too fat, much too fat.
But she's just right for me. She's so charming, and she's so winning.
But it's alarming when she goes in swimming.
We don't want her, you can have her. She's too fat for me.
She's too fat for me.
But she's just right for me. So I sure want her, you can't have her. She's just right for me.
But she's too fat.
But she's not too fat. She's just right for me.
If she'd lose some, I would like her more. Some, I don't want her, you can have her. She's too fat for me. She's too fat for me. She's too fat for me. I don't want her, you can have her. She's too fat for me. She's too fat, much too fat. She's too fat for me. Hey!
And that's our friend, our old friend Arthur Godfrey, man. Ha ha ha. Yeah, he was on the radio a lot in the 40s and into the 50s. And he might have done a little movie stuff, too. He was one hell of a pilot, I'll tell you that. He had a DC-3, I think it was. He flew around the country doing his shows and so forth. Yeah. Anyhow, she's too fat for me. I'm going to get that on karaoke and sing it at some of these places. See if I get run out of there or sit on by some woman. Hey, it's 8/8/14 today. Yeah. 8th month, 8th day, 14. All day. Beautiful day here. Another beautiful day, I'm telling you. It's getting like a California broadcast around here. I was talking to some people about that yesterday. I said, geez. I've never seen such nice weather. We'll probably pay for it this winter, though. We may pay for it this winter. Last winter was a bitch, I'll tell you that. I'm glad I didn't have a regular job I had to go to or drive to, because it was terrible, terrible. People were flying out of here to Florida all the time. So anyhow, this is Terrible Tommy, Tom Metzger. And this is resist.com, and that's our website. And we're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. Got some more donations in for the show. Let me look here. Got one from Portland in today. Got one from St. Helens, Michigan in today. Got one from Southern California down there. That's Southern California. Wolf. That's who that is. And his son just graduated from the university down there with flying colors, and at the top of his class. So congratulations to him. Don't know whether I gave credit to this or not. I did it on the paper, but we got one in from Spokane, too. That was a few days ago. Thank you very much, everybody. Well, I'm going to tell you a little story that it's going to be hard for you to believe. It's going to be real hard for you to believe. I went in for my just a routine checkup to the VA up in Fort Wayne. It's about 50 miles away. And I got in the door, and I expected just to go in and talk a little bit and go home. And a couple of good-looking nurses come up to me and said, "You be Tom Metzger?" I said, "Yeah, I'm Tom Metzger." I said, "You come with us right now." I said, "Oh, okay." So they took me down, threw me right into ER. Said, "Get in that bed, boy. Take all your clothes off." I said, "Hey, I'm making out to this. This is the best." Whoa, I never expected this kind of welcome. So I did what they said, and pretty soon they came in and threw me in a wheelchair and rolled me up to the third floor, way back in the corner where God can't hear you holler. And they said, "Now you stay there, boy, and we'll be back." And I thought, "Oh, boy." And they said, "You know, we're going to check you. They're going to check your vitals every 2 hours. I said, "Oh, man, that's cool. These good-looking chicks going to check my vitals." Now, to me, that means one thing. To them, must mean another. So I'm, that night, they said they'd be around every 2 hours, and I said, "Oh, boy, this is really going to get good, because there's nobody around there, just me and the nurses, you know." So, come 2 o'clock, and I'm laying there in anticipation, and in comes the chick with the cleavage and the whole bit, leans over my bed, and I said, "Here we go." She slaps a clamp on my finger and stuck a thing down my throat underneath my tongue. And I'm saying, "What the hell is this?" A bunch of numbers started flashing around on the machine. She pulled it all off, and out of the room she went. I said, "Well, that's just the warm-up. It's got to really go someplace after this." So 2 hours later, in comes the other nurse. "Whoa. Yeah." I say, "Here we go." Slaps another clamp on my finger, sticks a thing under my tongue, and looks at a bunch of meters, and away she went. I said, "Well, sure, they're just getting my vitals and checking me out, see whether I can handle it and the whole bit, because these gals look like they've been around." The third 2 hours, same thing. So I said, "Yeah, but finally, the last 2 hours, that's when it's all going to happen, baby." So in the room comes this nice-looking nurse chick and with cleavage. They all got cleavage, you know. And leaned over the bed and did the same damn thing. And I thought, my whole day was ruined, man. These gals, they took me, threw me into, told me to take my clothes off, threw me in bed, take me upstairs where it's a private room, nobody in there. And I figured this is my lucky day, but turned out it wasn't my lucky day. So anyhow, I'm back in the saddle again, and they treated me real nice up there. No big deal, but just something that needs to be taken care of. And so I'm back with you. Yeah, whether you like it or not, back to offend you every way I can. You know, I was thinking about that offending and offense and offensive speech and that stuff. I don't recall hearing that word much when I was a kid. Maybe it's because I'm a country boy, but I don't know. Did you ever hear that word offend very much when you was a kid? It was either you pissed me off or I pissed you off. And either you did something about it or you didn't. Now it's, "You offended me. I demand an apology." Well, back in the old days, sure, I'll give you satisfaction. We'll meet you out here under the apple tree. choose your weapon. But this whole thing about being offended is totally out of hand. They get offended about everything, so they can use it against people, you know. They don't do anything themselves. They just cry and moan, and then they leave it up to some other group, individual, or organization to give you hell because you offended them. Well, I'm offended every day. Every damn day I go downtown. Yesterday, at some point, was that yesterday? Oh, yeah, yesterday we went into a one of these sub places to get a little submarine sandwich. And here comes a woman in there, a grandma with, I believe, everything in the Christian Bible on her back, on her T-shirt. And she had a younger woman with her, which she must have been in her late 20s, early 30s, and looked dumb as hell. She had one white kid and one half-white kid. And they started rolling all over the floor and skidding back and forth and everything. And at one point I stood up and I screamed, "Hey, stop that shit." Scared the hell out of them, and the Christian grandma came running over and corralled them, set them down in a seat, and they shut up. Then I was up at the hardware this morning, and here is this beautiful, blonde, upper middle class, thin, nice body, just anything, something any white guy would want. And here she got four nigger kids in tow. Four nigger kids. Now, she had to have adopted them or brought them into the country or some shit. But it was just, and they were all over the place too. You know, Mexicans and nigger kids do that. They go into a place, throw everything off the shelves and all kinds of stuff. Toys R Us, forget it. Everything ends up on the floor. So not to be outdone, I went out to get some groceries. And I get in this line, and there's one guy ahead of me. He's Mexican, fat Mexican, fat wife, fat kids, four or five of them. And he's got a basket totally full and overflowing. And so he unloads the whole thing, and then he pays for it. And I saw he showed a card. So when I got up to the cashier, and she was doing my three items, I said, "Is that an EBT card?" She said, she shook her head, said, "Yeah." She was just as sick about it as I was. Now, it was $153 of groceries that I bought for him, and you bought for him, and all of us bought for that son of a bitch. And I just walking along, I said, How long is it going to be till people rise up and do anything? I mean, is it going to be when they can't even get any groceries and they're starving to death, and the niggers and the Mexicans, especially the Mexicans, coming through the lines with full cart loads of everything? He had everything in that cart. $153 in groceries is a lot of groceries in the store I was in. Hell, if I'd have bought $153 worth of groceries, it'll last me 2 months. So anyhow, those were about three of my... I was offended. But you know, nobody gives a shit if I'm offended. They don't give a shit if you're offended. They don't give a shit if any white person's offended. But you better not offend them. You better not offend them or piss them off. I wish people would just say, "I'm pissed off at you." And I'd say, "Well, I'm pissed off at you too. Now, either you're going to walk away, or I'm going to punch you in the mouth, or something's going to happen here. Maybe nothing's going to happen. But we're not going to drag it out and write a letter to the newspaper and call the NAACP and all that bullshit." And that is the way a lot of people do work things out. There's a lot of people out there on the street that are pretty honest and straight, blacks and whites that work the problem out. But the system don't want you to work it out. You're supposed to call a cop, you see. Yeah, that's the system. They're making money. Send a cop out. It's going to cost who knows how much for a cop to come out there. And then if anybody gets arrested, it's going to cost thousands of dollars, even for a misdemeanor. You know, I was watching a Bruce Willis movie the other night. And I'd seen it before, and I should have known and not even watched it. But I was in a bed there, and those buxom nurses hadn't come around, so I was forced to watch a movie. So here's Bruce Willis over there, and there's a white nurse down in this godforsaken nigger country that's into revolution. And, of course, who gave him the guns to do all the revolting? Well, we did. So the rebel army is overthrowing the king, the so-called king, as much as a Negro could be a king. And so they send in Bruce Willis and about 10 special forces guys to rescue this one white Christian type doctor in the middle of the jungle that's treating these niggers. And they got a priest there, of course, a priest there to save their soul. They pull up to the coast with an aircraft carrier to save one white, deluded, stupid, fanatic woman. I mean, normally you wouldn't pull up to a coast with an aircraft carrier to save 50 people, no matter what color they were. So there's that carrier sitting off the coast waiting. God, do you imagine? You know, imagine how much it cost? And then in the end, when these Bruce Willis goes liberal, he goes race mixing, and he feels sorry for these people because they told him, just go in and get the white gal and get her out of there. But, of course, they couldn't have a movie like that because that would be racist. So they say his mission is just to get the white girl out. And he argues like hell with his commander back on the flat top. And, of course, in real life, he'd have been canned right there. He'd have been court-martialed. But gradually, the guy on the deck of the carrier goes along with a little bit. And so he's going to get all these people out, all these niggers out of there, and probably bring them to L.A. or New York. So the rest of the movie is them going through the jungle trying to escape all these this black army, which probably is really the heroes. They're taking over the country and screw everybody. And they got the power to do it, and they got the American weapons that the U.S. is so stupid to give them. They're after a kid that's involved in this group that happens to be the son of this king that they blew away, blew his wife away, the queen and his sister and everything. So they're after not only this group of people, and everywhere they go, they slaughter everybody. But they're after this kid. And so finally, after Bruce Willis loses at least two or three really good men, white men, and they all get a little soft as this thing goes along. One of them's sort of hardcore for a while, but he finally gets all soft, and black ones are saying, oh, thank you, you're so wonderful, God love you, God will never forget you, and all that bullshit. And so they get some of them out with the aid of a couple of three fighter jets have to come in to cover them to get out of there. You realize how much it costs for three fighter jets and their rockets that they blew these black guy revolutionaries up with? You're talking, this whole operation must have cost $1 million easily to extract one white woman that is so screwed up in her brain that she can't see being a doctor in a town in the United States and taking care of people on the street here in the United States. Or if she wanted to take care of black people, she could go to the ghetto. She had to go to its deepest, darkest Africa. And so I'm sitting, laying there watching that, and I'm shaking my head. How fucked up can people be? There doesn't seem to be any end to it. There doesn't seem to be any end to it. It's like they're totally hypnotized, mesmerized, brainwashed. I certainly wouldn't have expended $1 million or $2 million and moved a carrier around to save one Christian-oriented doctor. Now you got all these people that are catching Ebola that are Christian missionaries. I say let them go. If the niggers want to eat the missionaries, it's fine with me. I don't care. They shouldn't be there. But now you see where Obama, there's some Zoroastrians sort of trapped on a mountain over there in Iraq. And Obama's going to send help in and troops and all that kind of stuff, I guess. Well, I'm not necessarily happy that these people have a problem, but when does it ever stop? When does it ever cease being everywhere all the time? If we're not causing trouble, we're trying to save people all the time and nation build. But the point is, almost all the weapons being used by all these problem people all over the world are weapons that are made right here. And our foreign aid that these stupid Americans think is going for the well-being and welfare of people in other countries, only a fraction of it ever gets close to them. The dictators and the assholes of the other countries. See, it's our asshole leaders and their asshole leaders. So we're sending all this money over there. Actually, we don't send it at all. That foreign aid goes through a bank here in the United States right back to the arms manufacturers. And we got arms manufacturers all over the United States shipping these weapons to these nigger countries, these Islamic countries, these Asian areas all over the world. And the money never even leaves the United States. It's just a round robin. The foreign aid just buys the weapons. That's all there is to it. You know, there's not hardly anybody seems to know that. They think they were actually giving foreign aid to other countries. And then you wonder why they hate us. Because they don't get it. Some nigger dictator, he's going to take all he can get from any foreign aid. When he has to run, like they always end up doing, he's going to end up in France, living in Paris the rest of his life with white whores all over him. That's the way that works. Well, anyhow, it's crazy. It is insane. And the world is insane. It's truly, really, absolutely insane. Now, as far as Gaza is concerned, these other countries, these other Islamic countries, if they give a shit, they do something. They're not doing anything. They could raise hell. I mean, they could really raise hell with Israel. But they're not doing it because it's all fun and games. It's smoke and mirrors. They're pretending like they care. Well, even Hamas, they're actually evidently hoping that if they murder enough common people in Gaza, somehow they'll come out running the new Palestinian state. Nobody really gives a shit about those people in Gaza, except people who don't live over there, people who live in Europe, the United States. And I got to give it to the left. The left is doing more to attack Israel and the Jews than the right wing ever did. You know, of course, they always bring up the Nazi death camps and all that kind of crap. But in reality, they're, it's too much. It's too much. And everybody keeps standing around. It's sort of like if a house is on fire and 100 people are standing around saying, gee, that's too bad. Yeah, it is. It's bad. Wow, that's bad. Isn't that bad? Yeah, that's bad. Like that stupid idiot Kerry and these people. Oh, and the UN. We got to do something. Well, why don't you send a peacekeeping force in there? You do everybody's else. Every little fucking country in the world, you send a peacekeeping force in. Why not a peacekeeping force into Gaza? Oh, no. No, because Israel's just defending itself. We couldn't do that. We couldn't offend the Israelis. We couldn't do that. No. No peacekeeping forces. They're not going to do a goddamn thing about this thing in the Middle East. It's never going to be solved as long as you got crazy-ass fanatical Christians, crazy-ass fanatical Islamics, and other assorted people. Because it plays right into the Christian fundamentalist hands. See, they got to have a world explosion, probably, of atomic warfare to get Jesus to come back. Jesus is not going to come back until it's, blood up to the stirrups of the horses, blood in the streets, 2 feet deep. No, Jesus don't. You're going to have a lot more violence than we've got so far for Jesus to come back. And then once he comes back, he's going to say, you Jews, are you still going to not believe in me? And they're going to say, you're full of shit, and then the Christians are going to kill them all. Christians, that's what their Bible says. Don't you understand what the Christian Bible says? I mean, I know it's distasteful to read it, but if you want to read about genocide and perversion and murder and treason, everything, it's all in there, all over the Bible. And don't say it's not in the New Testament, because it is. Jesus is going to come back carrying a sword, going to kick everybody's ass. But we got to have an atomic Third World War before he'll come back. And that's what these crazy-ass, insane Christian Zionists want. I've talked to them. I've heard them say this. And anybody that doesn't support Israel, God's going to do them in. And when I say, well, what about the USS Liberty, 200 Americans that died on that because the Israelis killed them? I don't remember that, they'll say. Or, well, that was an accident. Oh, boy. Let's tune in to the Rogue Progressive for a while today. And he's got a rant he'd like to talk about.
A time, I guess, when I thought Joan Rivers was funny, with that crazy, sarcastic funny. But Joan Rivers is one of the most ardent Zionists in America. Here's what she had to say about the Palestinians, as reported by Prachi Gupta at Salon. Surprise! Joan Rivers opened her mouth and more awful words fell out of it, this time about the Palestinian civilians dying in the Israeli-Palestine conflict. just as Rivers made headlines a few weeks ago for ranting about how the Palestinians started it to a TMZ cameraman, she again shouted her opinions at them yesterday when confronted at the LA airport. She said, "When you declare war, you declare war. They started it. We now don't count who's dead. You're dead. You deserve to be dead," she yelled, offering no sympathy for the civilians who have died in Gaza, including children. "At least the ones who were killed," she screamed, "were the ones with very low IQs." Rivers has repeatedly insinuated that anyone critical of Israel's military assault on Palestine is stupid and dumb as well. The list of such celebrities, not all of whom Rivers has specifically called out, includes Rihanna, Mark Ruffalo, Russell Brand, Javier Bardem, and Penelope Cruz. Comedian Jon Stewart summarized the attitude of Israel's military action against Palestine the best, saying recently, quote, "Just merely mentioning Israel or questioning in any way the effectiveness of humanity of Israel's policies is not the same thing as being pro-Hamas," end quote. Which is risky for Jon Stewart to say, since he is Jewish and stands a very good chance of being spanked hard by the AIPAC liquid sympathizers in this country. But Joan Rivers shrieking out, "You deserve to be dead." Who deserves to be dead, Joan? What do you think? What do you think? I mean, what?
The whole thing.
The 16-year former member of U.S. Congress. The headline, "Israel invades Gaza because it can." Dennis writes, "Israel invades Gaza because it can. Gaza, in the face of an invasion, have Gazans, in the face of an invasion, have no ability to strike back, while Israel strikes forward. Israel has total military superiority, an air force which can knock and then bomb, a navy which can shell Gazans from miles offshore, an army which can roll tanks into Gaza nonstop. Gazans have no army, navy, or air force with which to defend. Israel, as any nation, has a right to defend itself, but it confuses offense with defense. It is on the offensive in Gaza. Israel, with its overwhelming military strength, is attacking and invading Gaza in violation of international and U.S. law. Its construction of settlements violates the Oslo Agreement. Its central bank dries up the Gaza economy and blocks payments to Gazan civil servants. Its total control brings the Palestinians to utter subjection and total despair. Israel can kill, injure, and humiliate Palestinians at will, with impunity, which is exactly what gave rise to Hamas and strengthens Hamas's hold in Gaza, even as the IDF advances. Israel will go door to door in Gaza in the hunt for Hamas, which comprises the government of the Palestinians and is therefore a necessary party to any peace talks. It is axiomatic that if you kill your partner for peace, you will have no partner for peace. There will be no peace for now as Gaza is turned into an abattoir to collectively punish Gazans for supporting Hamas. Israel, in its attempt to divide Hamas from the Gazans, will actually multiply Hamas's strength in Gaza and elsewhere. Israel may indeed find and kill Hamas officials, but it is not the current individuals who make up Hamas who constitute Israel's deep dilemma, which threatens its long-term security. It is Israel's policies which gave rise to Hamas and which, if left unaltered, will spawn increased resistance no matter how many members of Hamas Israel is successful in apprehending or killing. What is the end game? To cast Gazans to the sea, where they will be met by the Israeli Navy? To push Gazans into Egypt? To eject all Palestinians to where? This is a question relevant not only to Israelis and Palestinians, but to the entire world. There will be consequences for this invasion. The cycle of violence will widen. It will draw in friends of the Palestinians, and it will affect Israel's allies. In the U.S., as our great friend presses the attack in Gaza, there will be increasing questions among the American people as to whether the $3 billion we give Israel annually is being used to defend our ally, or whether it is buying the U.S. billions of dollars worth of problems because of the manner in which our friend, quote, defends, end quote, itself. Since the U.S. is helping to pay Israel's bills, we cannot avoid the consequences of paying the price for Israel's actions against the Palestinians. This is why America must soon shift our role from giving tacit consent to an invasion to becoming an active partner in a new, honest search for peace in the Middle East. Dennis Kucinich. And Kucinich, having been a 16-year member of the U.S. Congress, understands fully that his last sentence is a little piece of gristle thrown to the dogs that will go over his piece here and try to figure out a way to punish Kucinich for telling the truth. America will not shift our role regarding Israel, ever. Not ever. As long as the Christian right is as powerful in this country as it is, and it is, the Christian right depends on Israel to bring about the slaughter that is Armageddon, according to the book of Revelation. The Christian right in this country depends on Israel to ignite the fire that will consume the earth and please their Jesus to such an enormous degree that he will then return and rapture the good Christians into heaven and put the sword to the Jews. This is sickness. This is madness. So Dennis is just tossing, like I said, a piece of gristle. As far as being an active partner in a new honest search for peace in the Middle East, that also will never happen. And that's not being pessimistic on my part. That is just telling the truth. There will never be peace in the Middle East between Israel and Palestine. Never. And the reasons are just right in front of your face. We'll be right back.
And that's true. As long as he's Christ insanity, crazies, psychopaths, are allowed to have their way and essentially control this government along with the corporations, then nothing's going to change. Because they want Armageddon. These Christians want it. They'll give you all kinds of excuses, but they want it because it has to happen. It's in the Bible. Like the woman I said yesterday, I saw their T-shirt on the back. I believe every word of the Bible, Christian Bible. Well, if she believes every word of the Christian Bible, it's all in there. There has to be a world super war to kill everybody. Blood running up to the bridle bits of the horses, as it says. Atomic bombs going off everywhere. That's what's got to be, because that's what the Christians want. Even the moderate Christians adhere to the Bible. And if they adhere to the Bible, that's what's there, whether they like it or not, whether they want to argue and change the wording around, all they want. But it's there. So, anyhow, that's the name of the game, baby. So all this peace talk is bullshit. There's never going to be any peace until both sides are all dead. Now, if Hamas were smart, and these people were smart, this type of stuff like's been going on in France would be all over the world. that there would be retribution from Islamics or whoever taking direct action in every country in the world. Yeah. If they're really serious, because you don't have to go to Gaza to fight. You can fight all those pro-Israel people in wherever you're at. And the Islamics, they've got the ball in their court. And if they rise up all over the world and start doing numbers on the Jews, then you're going to see something. But that's the only way they're going to get anything done. The only way. Sitting on the outside crying about people on the inside. It's like a prison. You know people are being tortured in the prison. People being killed, raped, everything. You can sit outside the walls and cry all you want. Bitch all you want. But you got to hammer the walls down. You got to break the walls down and change it. Otherwise, you're just wasting your time and your energy. As for me, it's not our time. No, we're on the outside looking in. We're outside the fishbowl looking in. And the best thing we can do is keep it cool, observe it, understand it, but don't get into it for now. Well, I see a federal judge has put a $5 million lien on Phelps Church. That's the preacher. He's dead now, but the family that picketed various funerals and so forth. Well, I didn't have much use for Phelps as far as this Christian thing and all that kind of stuff, but I think this is ridiculous. I think that it's anybody's right to picket whatever they want to picket, as long as they're out across the street. And for the federal judge to exact a $5 million blackmail on his church, which will put him out of business, is ridiculous. I ran into a bunch of these guys, like I told you last Friday night, that are patriot, some kind of patriot protection or something, and they go around, and I asked the guy, what do you do? He said, oh, we protect the funerals of GIs. I said, how much protection does a funeral need of GIs? Oh, well, we got to be there. How many funerals have been disrupted around this country of GIs? So Fred Phelps pickets one or two, and you guys are going crazy? Yeah, it's more ridiculous stuff. And even though I can't stand these hardcore fundamentalists, I still believe that everybody should have a privilege of picketing whoever the hell they want to picket, whenever they want to picket. I don't think it does any good as far as the different points they're trying to make, but still, they should have the privilege of doing it. I imagine if that gay soldier had been involved in killing a lot of men, women, and children over in the Middle East, that they'd sure as hell like to be over here picketing his funeral. Boy, here's a hell of a story. I mean, seriously, like straight out of Central Casting. Police raided an English country pub looking for a stolen bowl that some believe might be the famed Holy Grail. Pub landlady D. Franklin says she's seen a few rogues and scallywags in her establishment, but nobody capable of stealing a priceless relic. Again, on religion, from the Department of Well Bless His Heart. No, that's not the right one. From the Department of Settle Down and Play Nice People, Muslim turned evangelical Ergun Canner has his share of critics. When the vitriol spilled over to his 15-year-old son, resulting in the boy's suicide, evangelicals are saying, enough is enough. Yeah. Here's another one. The department, from the department, sorry, hun, we took that off the menu. So the North Carolina diner that was offering 15% pray in public discount. Yeah, they yanked that after atheists complained that there was no suitable equivalent for non-believers. There you go. So militant Islamics from the Islamic State have now seized Iraq's most populous Christian city, sending residents fleeing with little more than the clothes on their backs. Members of that minority Yazidi sect are stuck on a mountain, sunburned and hungry, with nowhere to go unless they want to be killed if they try to escape. And that ceasefire between Israel and Palestinians? Yeah, not so much anymore. And the latest casualty of the conflict? Israel's soccer season. And Obama's sending support and help over to these people stuck on a mountain, because that's your job, to take care of people that are stuck on a mountain because they're surrounded by their ethnic brethren who are one sect and they're another sect. These are the, not Rastafarians, but these are of the I can't remember the name. Well, yeah, these are the Zoroastrians, you know. Another group. from the Department of More Troubles for the Death Penalty, Egypt's Grand Mufti has refused to sign off on death sentences for leaders of the now out-of-favor Muslim Brotherhood. As the New York Times puts it, quote, though his opinions are advisory, they carry significant weight, unquote. And with that, it's off to the weekend, off to the beach. Yeah. Well, it's Friday. Let's see what Slapsy Maxie's got to say about the economy. Oh, it's never any good, I'll tell you that.
Welcome to the Kaiser Report. I'm Max Kaiser. You know, Benjamin Franklin once quipped, a great empire, like a great cake, is most easily diminished at the edges. Well, Benny, the nation you founded has become an empire, and that empire is indeed diminishing at the edges, but also collapsing at the center in a giant cake fart of corruption. Stacy?
Max, yes, we're looking at more headlines today about this collapsing empire because, you know, Obama, earlier in the week, he invited all these African leaders. He invited 50 African leaders. Some of them couldn't come because of the Ebola epidemic across Western Africa. But the headline reads, Obama woos African leaders to counter growing Chinese influence. Ben Rhodes, a U.S. national security advisor, denied it was an attempt to play catch-up with China.
Really? I'm not sure what this has to do with cake farts so far, but I'm waiting with bated breath. And when you mention ketchup, of course, I think of John Kerry, ketchup boy.
Oh, sure.
He's got 57 varieties of ways to cure the world's ills. But so China's on the move. They're making a move. People are getting concerned. They want to restrain them.
Well, we're going to get to the cake fart in the next headline. This one is the cake collapsing it. Collapsing at the edges. So Melvin Foote, a founder of the Constituency for Africa, a group promoting African interests in Washington, said it was disingenuous for the White House to claim the summit was not in large part a response to China. The administration won't tell you that, but it's at the front of their mind. America is losing influence and respect in Africa, he said. I hear it whenever I travel there.
Yeah.
So what he gives a quote exactly what he's hearing when he goes to Africa. Often, as a part of his lobbying efforts, he says, Africans say, why do we need the United States? When I travel around Africa, I've seen airports, I've seen roads, I've seen railroads, I've seen ports, I've seen all kinds of things that are really impressively built by China. That, you have to say, the United States refused to build.
Well, as we've said on this show a few times, you know, the strategy of China in Africa is to build stuff, and the strategy of America in Africa is to bomb stuff. So I think the Africans are thinking, you know, I think we'd go with the build stuff rather than the bomb stuff. And the U.S. is running out of bombs. You know, their supply lines of bombs to various countries that they're bombing, Iraq, Libya, Afghanistan, Gaza, you know, all these bombs that the U.S. is supplying, they can't get them to the spot fast enough. So that could be, again, the American empire on the edges of the fraying cake part.
Yes. Well, I mean, by the way, the U.S. doesn't have any ports or rail infrastructure or any of that themselves. They don't even have it for themselves. So, of course, they're not going to build it in Africa because that would be communism that they would be delivering there, they would say or think. So the article also points out that the U.S. has a right to be concerned because they have good reason to be concerned. China's trade with Africa rose to $200 billion last year, largely made up of Beijing's imports of oil and minerals and export of electronics and textiles, more than double the U.S. and far ahead of the EU. 20 years ago, trade between China and Africa was just $6 billion.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is a trend that is going to de-dollarization. You know, that's the buzzword of the year, de-dollarization. Russia, China, other countries are getting out of the dollar. The dollar loses world reserve currency status, and with that, inflation in America doubles and triples. So this is what Paul Krugman and the New York Times and these people fail to inform people about, is that once the dollar loses its world reserve status, as we've been talking about here, then it can't protect prices from tripling in the United States for food and energy and these other things.
They also note that essentially it seems like China is going to run their empire, if this is what happens, post-American empire, in a way similar to the empires of old. America just bombs and doesn't build anything there. Well, they mention that Beijing's influence has been greatly enhanced by the large numbers of Chinese now living and working in Africa, from factory managers to traders, and by big construction projects that have been rapidly transformed parts of the continent when decades of Western aid was often directed to propping up authoritarian Cold War allies, not development. So, I mean, you mentioned that the U.S. has bombs, and of course, you know, speaking of quotes from great men about empires, Montesquieu said that, you know, empires born out of war, like America, will have to maintain their empire through war. The article points out that the U.S. is only seeking to bomb and fight terror in Africa, but, and yet they couldn't find a single nation in Africa willing to host their AFRICOM.
Yeah, well, Britain is going to be more like the United Kingdom. I'm sorry, China will be more like the United Kingdom in terms of the United Kingdom had an empire which was just a huge bureaucracy around the world, and they went to live in these places, and they had this this global empire as a result of it. China seems to be tearing a page out of that book and creating a global empire where people, Chinese people, are actually, you know, moving to these countries, settling in, and creating businesses. It all feeds back to China.
Yes. Now, I mentioned the, well, you mentioned the cake part at the opening, and this is the center, at the center of empire, Rome, as it were. And Obama says corporate America has benefited from his policies, The Economist. So he was interviewed in The Economist magazine, and they noted that at the opening of his administration, he had a tense relationship with Wall Street and CEOs of various big corporations, and he had famously, at the opening of his administration, said, "I did not run for office to be helping out a bunch of fat cat bankers on Wall Street." But lo and behold, that's exactly what has happened, of course. He says, if you look at what's happened over the last 4 or 5 years, the folks who don't have a right to complain are the folks at the top, Obama said in an interview conducted last week and posted on the magazine's website late on Saturday.
Right. Well, he likes to use this term, folks. He's very folksy, isn't he? Like he said last week that, yeah, America bombed some folks.
He said we tortured some folks.
Yeah, America tortured some folks. You know, it's all very folksy. He tortures people. And he did exactly what he said he wasn't going to do. He plays Curry's favor with the bankers, and they've made out like bandits during the how's that got to do with the cake parts? I'm still not seeing how that works in.
Well, here is at the cake part of corruption. Here's the center of the corruption that's collapsing in the center as well as at the edges. Here you have in Africa, none of these nations that are visited Obama in the White House this past week, none of them believed in America anymore because they see the fact that all of the aid over the past few decades as part of the American empire, it all went to corruption in Africa. It all went to propping up authoritarian dictators. It went to building nothing for them, giving them nothing. And And then now they're seeing, in comparison, they're seeing China, and China is giving them ports, railroads, roads, schools, all sorts of stuff. And they're like, wow, this is what we could have had all these decades being, with under the thumb of America. And here in the center of America, we find out that here the president doesn't care at all about running the government or the country for the people there either. So they have no railroads. They have no nothing. But the top 1% have, or 0.01%, have done amazingly well because of his policies, because he allows what his Department of Justice never went after the banking criminals. His, his central bank printed more and more and more and more money and handed it to the bankers. He made the conscious decision to give those trillions of dollars to the bankers rather than to the population, just like... So they, all the American population are like the African population in terms of getting nothing for all of the chaos, war, and empire.
I still don't see the connection to cake farts. I mean, when I think of cake farts, I'm thinking of a video that was online a couple of years ago of a woman and her cake farting, which became a viral sensation and a huge industry for that woman. I think it's maybe, if I can connect the dots here, connect the frosting, is we're talking about kind of a winner-take-all mentality where you've got one woman who's got all the cake fart dollars and everyone else is out there trying to fart on cakes and they've got nothing to show for it. And here you've got Barack Obama, who's been trying to bomb his way into prosperity and curry favor with the bankers. It's not working. He's one of the cake fart losers, whereas China is a cake fart winner. They're out there and they've got their brilliant display of cake farting, and this is turning out to be a major 21st century winner. It's a winner-take-all mentality, and China is the winner.
They get all the cake. Now, maybe this headline might make you think of cake farts. Russell Brand, Gaza, Sean Hannity, and crowdfunding on StartJoin at Rusty Rockets. So this is Simon Dixon, and he's looking at The Guardian has covered an article about this conflict going on between Sean Hannity and Russell Brand. Their article is called Russell Brand Takes on Sean Hannity in Gaza Spat. Row begins after British comedian and actor calls for Fox News presenter terrorist over his interviewing style. And they mentioned that Rusty Rockets, Russell Brand, got the last word by referring to Max Kaiser's tweet about a crowdfunding campaign going on to fight this sort of concept of empire.
Right, that's right. There's a crowdfunding campaign on StartJoin. Sean Fahey is creating some billboards in Los Angeles and New York that say Sean Hannity is an idiot. So it's a media war. Fox has proven to be media terrorist. Russell Brand accused Sean Hannity of being a media terrorist. I would agree with that. Now, Russell Brand has taken him on, and he's got over 2.2 million views on his video criticizing Fox News. Fox News, Sean Hannity would get maybe 1.9 million viewers of his show. So here's Russell Brand in his flat with a camera and a YouTube connection who's doing battle with Rupert Murdoch, the guy who made fun of Millie Dowler's death here in the UK, made hay on Millie Dowler's death. He tried to capitalize on that quite spectacularly during the phone hacking scandal. Now he's in America with Fox News trying to capitalize on media terrorism. Russell Brand very correctly points that all out. Now we've got the StartJoin campaign. Is Sean Hannity an idiot? You know, they're seeking some dollar contributions to put up these billboards in L.A. and New York, all over the world. So the media war is well on.
Well, okay, so going back, tying this all together with the media, this old media platform sort of model of Fox News supports the empire. They keep the empire going. They keep the giant cake fart that is empire going. And here, Simon Dixon's rightly pointing out that the crowd are the barbarians at this gate. We don't necessarily, at the gatekeepers, by the way, we don't need necessarily to become a world run by a Chinese empire. We can become a world run by the crowd. Also interesting to see is how politics, media, and crowdfunding are overlapping. A quick search through StartJoin and you will see how crowdfunding is being used as a political tool for the people to have a voice and get featured in the media. And he looks at Skriptonite, who also, she's going to Gaza. We've interviewed her here. She raised £1,600 so far on StartJoin to do this. So here again, when you no longer need to ask Caesar for permission to do anything, here we are actually taking back control.
Yeah, our contributions and inventions relating to crowdfunding and cryptocurrencies are, and with people like Russell Brand, there's a new media world order. Stacy, we've got to go. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, stay tuned for the...
Well, old Slapsy Maxie's taught you a new term, or cake farting. Have you ever cake farted? I can't remember cake farting. I've done a lot of things, but so far I haven't cake farted. I don't know how that works. But as far as Africa's concerned, it looks like China's doing the best farting. Well, that's it for today, Freya's Day. Friday, She-Wolf Day in the bunker. And I'll be back with you tomorrow, Saturn's Day. And we'll see whether we can't offend some more people. If you know some people that like to be offended, like, what do they call that? People who like to hurt themselves or be hurt. Chains and whips and stuff. Tell them to send me $20. Tune in. I'll offend them all they want, man. Well, one point I want to leave you with is this Indian thing, this Native American thing, which, as you know, drives me up the wall because they're nothing but Mongols or different strains of Mongols. And I was listening on a world travel show the other night. I just happened to bring it up. And they were in some little East Asian area. Maybe the Soviet Union maybe they used to control it. But anyhow, the people were talking, these natives, these Mongols, sounded just like the Indian. You know, I mean, I'm not a linguistic guy, but I've heard the Indians speak in their regular tongue, and these people just the same. So when people try to tell you we tried to kill all the Indians and all that, the Mongols, are you kidding? There's millions and millions and millions of Mongols out there, all the way, and then all the way from Alaska down through Canada, all the way down into South America. Or partial Mongols, or what. So anytime somebody talks to you about this native horse shit, tell them to get lost. 14-5. Bye-bye, black man. Yeah. Get on that chip, man. Oh, yeah. Go up the gangplank. Get on that chip. Ship your ass back to Ghana. Come on, Rastas, don't be blue. Try not to eat the crew.
I'll be home late tonight, Blackbird.
Bye-bye, Blackbird. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. So long, Rastus. Don't be blue. Try not to eat the crew. Blackbird. Bye-bye.